Today on Straight Talk Africa, a conversation with the director of the Voice of America, Amanda Bennett, and the Africa Division Director, Negusi Mengesha. They discuss VOA's African initiatives and their recent trip to East Africa, where they met with government officials, VOA's media partners, and with many young men and women who hold the key to the future of the media landscape of the continent. That's coming up next right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa, live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. I am Shaka Sali. On a programming note, we'd like to welcome Kenya Television Services, or KTS, at the Moi University campus in Eldoret, as our latest affiliate station in Kenya, to our VOA Africa television family.
And hello to all of our viewers and listeners on the continent and elsewhere. I'm Ayane Bior, your social media reporter.
Today, it's a conversation about the Voice of America initiatives in Africa.
And coming up later, our audience has weighed in on our topic through emails, Facebook, and Twitter comments. And we'll reveal some of them ahead on Straight Talk Africa.
The Voice of America has a long and rich history as one of the most successful broadcast operations in Africa. Indeed, as my colleague Haid Adams Fitzpatrick reports, VOA is a household name across Africa.
For more than half a century, the Voice of America has been a trusted source of international news in Africa. Every day, through in-depth reporting and analysis in more than a dozen African languages, VOA brings Africa to the world and the world to Africa. In 1960, the Voice of America launched its French to Africa service. VOA Afrique quickly developed a loyal following in French-speaking African countries. In 1962, VOA began broadcasting in Swahili, reaching an audience it had never served before through programming in their mother tongue. Today, the Voice of America broadcasts in 15 languages throughout Africa. VOA works in partnership with more than 350 affiliate stations and an extensive network of reporters. There are 8 bureaus and reporting centers across the continent. The key to Voice of America's coverage is to go beyond the headlines to provide context and analysis and a comprehensive blend of news, music, and sport on radio, television, and the web. VOA director Amanda Bennett traveled to East Africa this year for a first-hand assessment of the network's reach and influence. She was accompanied by the head of Voice of America's Africa division, Negusi Mengesha, Swahili service chief Mwamoyo Hamza, and Joyce Ngo, head of regional marketing for East and Southern Africa. It was an opportunity to cement long-standing relationships with affiliates and media partners who play a critical role in bringing VOA's programming to African audiences. Bennett, a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist, addressed journalism students at the African Center for Media Excellence and Makerere University in Kampala, Uganda. One of the highlights was the opening of VOA's new broadcasting center in Mombasa, Kenya. The VOA mission is to provide a consistently reliable and authoritative source of accurate and objective news. Nowhere is serving that goal more important than in Africa. With more than 68 million viewers and listeners each week, Africa is VOA's largest global audience. Haidee Adams-Fitzpatrick, VOA News, Washington.
Thanks, Haidee, for that interesting report. Joining us here in our Washington studios are two distinguished guests, Amanda Bennett, the director of the Voice of America, and Negusi Mengesha, the Africa Division Director. I have to say, Amanda and Negusi, that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host you on Straight Talk Africa.
And we feel the same to be your guests, honored and humbled. Thank you.
You're most welcome. Later in the program, we'll give you, the audience, a chance to call and talk with our guests. The number to call is 202-619-3111. US country code is 1. Was this the first time that you went to Africa?
No, I had been to Tanzania and to Uganda, but it was 25 years ago. It was quite a different climate then.
Very interesting. How was it this time around, especially as, in fact, the chief executive of the Voice of America?
It was so exciting to be there. It was just a great experience. You can just feel the energy in those countries. You can feel people just striving, and the journalists in particular. It was very exciting. Nicholas, would you agree?
Actually, yeah. It was really very tightly scheduled visit. We had 10 days for Amanda, and then we took her three countries, Uganda, Kenya, and Tanzania, as we saw it. We took her to five cities, Dar es Salaam, Mwanza, Kampala, and then Mombasa and Nairobi. It was really very exciting. And by the way, it was a big deal to have her there. The best promotion is always to have the director there. And she's one of the best communicators I have seen, I think. I'm not simply flattering you, that's the truth. And you can see it also what in the short piece we have shown. So it was really a pleasure to have you.
Very interesting. If you were to talk to us from the deepest bitter part of the bottom of your Philadelphia heart and soul, what would you say was the single most accomplishment during your trip?
I think for me it was realizing the really profound feeling of the journalists there to be the best journalist they can be. And I was very humbled because they're experiencing this, facing much more difficult conditions than any of us face here in the United States. And yet they were facing these restrictions, these conditions, and they were struggling to figure out how to get past them. That would be, for me, the biggest accomplishment, was realizing that we need to really help serve these really ambitious young people to do the best they can.
When you talk about the conditions and the type of restrictions that you are alluding to, what are you talking about, really?
Well, Nicholas, you help me talk about this. I mean, there are situations. We talked to journalists who had faced physical threats. We faced people who were working for places where they couldn't freely report what they wanted to report.
Yeah.
We were facing people who economically were unable to be independent as journalists and were forced to often depend on their sources for economic support.
Yeah. Right? I think also constant police harassment. Sometimes not cooperating, not getting cooperation from government officials. Of course, the economic problem is the biggest problem. Some of them, they can't even afford to send reporters to cover stories. You see that. But at the same time also, to be honest, as Amanda explained, you see a new breed of young journalists. That's really what impressed me a lot. For me as a veteran journalist and an old guy, to see this young, energetic, dynamic journalist who are there to really aspiring to report on fact-based journalism, is really very inspiring. You see them across in Kenya, Uganda, in Tanzania too.
We heard from the package by Haide, of course, how the Voice of America has actually become a sort of household name really across the continent. What were some of the concrete evidence?
Shaka Zali. When I'm traveling through Africa, people are asking me, "Do you know Shaka Zali?
Really?
Do you know Vincent Macquarie?" Yeah. And even Momoyo Hamza, same thing.
At one time, I was fed up of hearing this name time and again. I'm also the Shaka Zali for Ethiopia. I have to tell them that. But really, it's impressive. Over 20 years, Straight Talk has been on air. I think this program, through your moderation, has acquired fame, trust, and store prestige. Really, everywhere we got, there was a high praise also. The kind of themes, the kind of topics you pick up, the kind of people who come to discuss that, the diverse discussion, whether it's election or conflict, whether it will be national calamity. I think that you really have set the standard, and then definitely as time goes on also we should change the program also, we should adapt ourselves to the new changing environment also. But you have a lot of praise.
What do they particularly like about Shaka Zali? Is it simply because he happens to be a kid from Kavale, southwestern Uganda, who walked his way up to Washington, or what?
It's partly that. It's partly that they understand that you know them and you connect with them. You're one of your audience. But it's also that you're like us, you're a part of the Voice of America. And that's really important. Going to Africa is important for me because Voice of America is so well known. It's important for me to realize how much Voice of America is known. It's much better known in Africa than it is in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the two things. It's you are part of them and you're part of the Voice of America. I think that's the important thing.
When you talked to students at the prestigious Makerere University, what did you learn from those young people?
Well, I learned that, again, going back to the original point, that they really want to be journalists and they're trying to figure out a way past the obstacles, and that a lot of their struggles are much more difficult than my struggles ever were. Mm-hmm. But again, there was a huge room full of students, and I talked for maybe 5 minutes and 10 minutes, and I said, okay, questions. There was a silence for 5 minutes, and then the place exploded. You couldn't hold them down. Well, we could stay there for hours. Their hands were going up all over the room. They were lively. They were interested. They were brave. What do you think, Ngozi?
I think it was. I was really surprised because the sort of change, a huge change, is a leap actually in terms of, training journalists. Mm-hmm. In my age, actually, I walked into journalism without any training. Mm-hmm. I got the training there in the radio station itself. Here now it's Makerere University. There are roughly 150 young male and female journalist students. And actually, Amanda did her presentation. They asked a lot about investigative reporting. Mm-hmm. There was no question, actually. There was a bit of silence. Then Amanda knows how to provoke their audience. She said, well, you want to be a journalist? Is that true? A journalist who doesn't know how to ask questions? Actually, all of a sudden, like a few hands raised up, and later, actually, they engaged her for 1.5 hours, actually. So you see that aspiration, but also they see also the possibility. They asked actually whether it's possible to do internship with us, which is possible actually. Hopefully we'll have one day a reporting center in Kampala. By the way, our Mombasa reporting center has an internship, mm-hmm. which is a good thing. Hopefully everywhere our reporting centers should have internship. We could open that door. The possibility of getting job, if they are a good one, if we have additional funding, definitely we can employ them as stringers. So, I mean, they are asking many questions regarding their career, too.
What about you, Ngozi, from perhaps a personal point of view? You happen to be the first indigenous African director of the Africa Division at the Voice of America. And you also happen, by the way, to come from Eastern Africa.
Yeah.
How were you received?
Actually, I used a bit of my own background. Amanda, when she talks to the female journalist, she talks about her background, actually. And I said, I am a former journalist who served in Ethiopia, who educated in German, went back to Ethiopia with a lot of illusions and ambitions to serve my country. But I was kicked out of the country in the late 70s and ended up as a refugee in a Sudan camp. And I told them I came to this country as a refugee to New York, actually from Khartoum to New York. And I have to start life from the scratch. So I said, if I can make it, you can make it too. It's a good example, actually. By the way, it's a pleasure when I say also I'm the first one who started as a reporter and grew, became an editor, chief of service, and later also program manager, now as a division director, the first African to be a division director. That's a great honor and a privilege for me too. Also, I'm a good example for others also to really raise, kids, so this kind of, career ladder also. I hope I gave them some incentives.
If I remember correctly, were you not, in fact, perhaps the first television presenter in Ethiopia?
One of them. And early, I remember it was the coronation of the emperor. There was the British
Emperor Haile Selassie.
Yeah, Emperor Haile Selassie. So for his birthday, they have to start the television with 6 months' time. So I was the one. I used to be a reporter on radio, so I was one of them actually who also be the broadcaster in the Ethiopian television.
And of course, you told them about your experience also at the Deutsche Welle.
I did also work at Deutsche Welle. I became also the second, actually. It was an Ethiopian who was the head of the Amharic service. When he left, I succeeded him. I was the head of the Amharic service in Deutsche Welle, too.
Very interesting. Now we'll pause for a short break. We want to remind you that Straight Talk Africa is now streaming on Facebook. Just enter the keyword Straight Talk Africa and watch our show live. And don't forget to share it with your friends. Also, we are on Twitter and we are tweeting live. Follow us at VOA Shaka That's VOA Shaka, and join in on today's discussion with your questions and comments. Don't forget to use the hashtag VOA Africa Initiatives. We'll put some of your tweets on air later in the show. We'll be right back with you, so please, don't go away.
To people on an everyday basis. We hope that our viewers are getting inspired when they watch our show. They're getting a view of the world from a different perspective, things that perhaps are not in their immediate vicinity. Today, I could put in on the show something that is a little different, a little unique, and this gives me that inspiration to come to work.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. What is your opinion about today's topic? Call us at 202-619-3111, U.S. country code 1. When you call, remember the following. Ask only one question, keep your comment brief, and turn down the volume on your radio or television. Now let's return to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Gidiyuwat, and of course this is Straight Talk Africa, coming to you live from Washington. Let me come back to you, Amanda. Let's talk a little bit about the vision thing. What is your vision really for Africa, for VOA to Africa programming?
Well, the vision for Voice of America is actually, ironically, the same vision that started Voice of America, which is to first off, to tell America's story, to make sure that people understand who the United States is and what our story actually is, not just our story in Washington, but the story of the whole country, including the amazing people from the diaspora like you two who are living here and being part of the United States. So that's part of it. And partly also, when you think about those young journalists, we want to be the journalistic organization that they aspire to be part of, to be a place where you know that you can depend on things being true, you know you can depend on being factual. Even if the news is bad, we will tell you that. We're not afraid to do that. So that's the kind of thing. Those two things, I think, is how we want to engage Africa and frankly, the whole world.
When you think about the kinds of meetings you had, the sort of interactions that you had, Negusi, what did you come back with? Is there anything specifically that you identified as perhaps a major weakness of the institution that we can do something about?
Actually, we learned a lot from affiliate stations. You know, I have visited a couple of times affiliate stations. Before you could meet the CEO, he will welcome you and will take you around and, you know, explain what they are doing. That's not what they do now, actually. The CEO would receive you. He received Amanda, her delegation, and we're taken, you know, for a short, exchange of greetings and so forth. And I started actually asking about the program. He said, no, we'll go to our conference room. There is someone to explain. That's the content producers, program managers, they are the ones who actually literally explain everything, actually. And they had a PowerPoint for us, actually. And I'm amazed, actually, the kind of production they do. Even the graphic, to be honest, the content. We are trying actually to have a producer special on poaching. They have already produced on poaching.
Right.
So, but at the same time, also, this is our weakness, I want to say, because you are asking about weakness. They want co-production with us. It's extremely. I want this program one day, budget permitting, on the road to produce with affiliates in Uganda, in Kampala, in Accra, in Abuja. That should happen, actually. That's extremely important. We actually have an NBC correspondent, now two of them actually, working on joint production with Pauline Dehaul.
Yes.
They are in San Francisco. They'll be going also to in Boston. Actually, the San Francisco story will be investigative reporting, actually, about this young Ugandan has been killed by a police during a demonstration. So I think that will be one area. The other one, this university hospital in Boston actually is having a sister hospital in Uganda. Mm-hmm. They have been working very closely. So it's a very beautiful, connecting America with Uganda, actually, a very beautiful story, co-production on that. We should do this type of things, actually. And the other thing is training, of course. I'll come to it later, actually. Training is a very important demand. We should do more on that.
It's interesting that you mentioned something to do with having a sort of roadshow, perhaps a program, in fact, on the show, because there are some people who sent a question and said, I should ask both of you this. How do you respond to those who would like to see a series of VOA town halls in Africa and live editions of Straight Talk Africa programs in particular that originate from various institutions of learning or civil society from the motherland or the African continent?
Don't we think that's a great idea?
That's a wonderful idea. Yeah. To be honest, we used to do some in Nigeria before the era of Boko Haram. Because Boko Haram came and messed up. We have particularly health-related town hall meeting. We started with 100, 150. We used to have 3,000, 4,000 in Kaduna and Kano. We should start these kind of things.
I actually did a couple of live broadcasts, one of them, in fact, from Abuja, with now President Muhammad Buhari and the late Biafran leader, of course, Odumegu Ojukwu. I have also done one, of course, in Accra from the Ghanaian seat of power with the late President Professor John Evans Atta Mills when President Obama visited Ghana back in 2009. I also did one with the President Jakaya Kikwete of Tanzania, live from Dodoma, the Tanzanian political capital.
But I think the most successful town hall meeting was when we took it to Minneapolis, when we connected Mogadishu with Minneapolis Somali diaspora. That was an amazing venture, actually. First, I don't think we really thought it would work out. We're thinking maybe do one town hall meeting in Minneapolis, another one. But I think with the help of language programming, Amanda also went there. By the way, it was September 3rd on Labor Day. She didn't want her long weekend to celebrate. She came with us. It was one of the most successful, actually, town hall meeting, connecting Mogadishu travel city with the diaspora.
So you see, it comes. This is part of our DNA. You've been doing these things all along. It gives us ideas for doing it in new ways, like connecting the United States with parts of Africa. And then another step is perhaps engaging our partner stations to do their half of it or host their half of it. We saw that we think, visiting those stations, we think that the technical and journalistic capability is quite, you know, superior, and we feel very comfortable in many places sharing our work with them. So that, I think, is going to be very exciting to take, you know, the things that you started many years ago, you've built on, and yet let our affiliates build on them as well.
Very interesting. Of course, we just welcomed, for example, KTS television at Moi University in Eldoret, in the Great Rift Valley of Kenya. What about other places? How difficult is it for placing our programs on some of these affiliate or partner stations across the continent?
Actually, I mean, marketing has done a very good job. There's no doubt about that. We have quite a number of affiliate stations who take our program. But we should not be satisfied with that only. I think we should do more. Actually, during our strategic review, when we had our own internal review, this was one important topic we raised, actually. We should really have the list of our affiliates and find out exactly which ones are taking our program. If there are affiliates who don't take our program, why don't they take it? We should find out the reasons. Is it because they don't like our content, our production value? If that is the case, we should improve. Actually, we should involve people. We should also actually be ready to feed them, actually, a kind of reporting that they need from this part of the world, from America. For instance, the election has been extensively covered. The convention, the convention in Cleveland, in Philadelphia, we had reporters from all language services, many affiliates, over 38 affiliates actually took those features. So we should really nurture this kind of relation, strengthen this kind of relation. They can use our stringers in Mogadishu, our stringers in Abuja, anywhere where they don't have access. They can call you, actually, to feed them a news report on what on the topics that you're working on. So really, there is many areas we can really work together.
Let me ask you a sort of nerve-wracking question, which was actually given to me by one of my colleagues. This colleague said that in his experience, the last 30 years, he has served at the Voice of America, The institution seems to emphasize so much the bureaucracy, and that broadcasting, in his view, frankly, seems to be incidental. How do you react to that? Have you heard about some of those complaints since you came on board?
My background, I'm a lifelong journalist. I've been a journalist since I was in high school, and I want us to focus on the journalism. The bureaucracy is there only to serve us. If it's not serving us, we need to figure out how to get it out of our way. The important thing here is you two. The important thing here is all our affiliates. The important thing is the work that we're doing and that we're telling people. The important thing is not the bureaucracy. Every institution has bureaucracy, but that's not the important thing.
Very interesting. What inspired you, frankly, of all things, to want to become a journalist? I realize, of course, at one time, you had the privilege and honor of being the editor of the great Harvard Crimson.
I was not the top editor. I was a very, very, very low editor on the Harvard Crimson. I actually don't know why I wanted to become a journalist, but I had my first newspaper story published in a newspaper when I was 11.
Interesting.
So I've known that I wanted it ever since I was a little kid.
It may be interesting to learn.
Actually, I wanted to share your experience with a female journalist you met with in Azam studio.
Actually. Yes, in Tanzania.
In Tanzania, actually. They were too much, they were engaged. They listened to you, and also, to be honest, they took her as a model. I mean, they came out, the feedback they gave later, actually, they said, you inspired them, a lot of them. They are committed now to work hard and achieve whatever is needed to be achieved, actually.
Of course, it works the other way. They inspired me because I saw there was a room full of female journalists. It was full of female journalists. There were lots of them. And the questions they had, I thought they were going to be very different questions than the ones I had faced in my life. They were exactly the same questions.
Really?
They were exactly the same questions. I thought it was going to be so hard for me to figure out how to answer their questions, and it was actually easy. They had the same questions women journalists in this country have. How do I get people to take me seriously? How do I get men to take me seriously? How do I take myself seriously? Hmm. You know, what kind of training do I need? Is there a way for me to progress? Am I going to be stuck doing this for my whole life, or can I progress? How can I get what I need? And then the issue that, the dread issue that all women deal with, which is the work-family balance issue, and it's the same there as it is here. It's like, get your husband to do some of the work. You've got a job to do.
Any particular individual, Amanda, that frankly inspired you, that gave you her shoulders to climb on so that you could see a little bit further than that particular individual?
I was part of a generation where for most of the early part of the career, I was the only woman in the room for a long time. When I was hired at the Wall Street Journal, I think there were probably in the whole paper, all over the country, all over the world, there were probably 10 women altogether. So we never saw each other very much. So I didn't get a role model until I was in my 40s and already
really?
Well along in my career. But I have to say that role model was so important in terms of leadership. She was a very prominent, her name is Sandra Rowe. She was the editor of the Oregonian in Portland, Oregon, where I was an investigative managing editor. She was a real pioneer because she had been an editor of a major newspaper when I was still a kid. And what she taught me was that you could be a leader and you could also be kind. That there was not a conflict between those two things, and I had actually never realized that was worrying me in the back of my mind. That in order to be a leader, you had to be fierce and mean. There's lots of ways to lead, and she was a very kind, very thoughtful, very nurturing, but a very strong woman.
That the two were not mutually exclusive.
They were not mutually
but
exclusive.
But rather mutually, perhaps reinforcing.
That's
really.
Right. Exactly. Mm. Exactly, and so that was an important lesson for me, and I hope in a small way to be able to pass that lesson on to men and women both. I mean, both men and women need that lesson, I think.
Where do you get that kind of humility for someone really that should be a journalistic giant? I mean, you are a recipient of some of the most important awards. We're talking about the Pulitzer, for example, which probably would really be ranked almost next to the Nobel Prize.
I don't think so. I love being a journalist. I just love being a journalist. It's just I love doing the work. I love other journalists. I love the struggles they have. I love the editors. I love the work you do. I just love the job.
Very interesting. You are tuned into Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more of a discussion in a moment, including our social media segment. So please, don't go away.
Today's youth are not just the next generation of African leaders. They are today's leaders. And this is the time to invest in them. Today, not tomorrow. So let's connect. Let's engage with each other on issues that will transform our societies. Innovation, leadership, entrepreneurship, things that you're doing to move the continent forward to make you the greatest generation that Africa has known. It's Upfront every Wednesday, 1730 UTC, right here on The Voice of America.
This is Straight Talk Africa on The Voice of America. Call us now with your questions and comments. The number is 202-619-3111 and the U.S. country code is 1. Call us direct and we'll call you right back. Remember to turn down the volume on your radio or television and keep your comments brief. Now back to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githui-Ewart, and welcome back to Straight Talk Africa, live from Washington. It's time to bring in my colleague and social media reporter, Ayen Bior. Take it away, Ayen.
Well, thanks, Shaka. VOA Director Amanda Bennett and Ngozi Mengesha, VOA's Africa Division Director, are here with us today discussing the recent trip to Africa. Well, this leads us to our question of the week, which asked, what type of initiatives would you like VOA to provide to Africa? Well, before we begin, I'd like to thank our audience for using our social media platforms to communicate with us. And another reminder that we are tweeting live today. Use the hashtag VOA Africa Initiatives. And if you haven't yet, please follow us at VOA Shaka. And speaking of it, let's go to a tweet from A.W. Hirsi, who tweets, I think VOA can partner up with local media organizations and embark upon constituency and voter education. Now to our comment of the week from Facebook fan Moses M. Mbwaze from Uganda, who writes, it would be relevant if VOA had mobile debates in Africa's capital cities on Africa's economy, matters of governance, and social services. The debate panelists could include the public, the U.S. ambassador in country, and a government officer from the host nation. Also, there is need to bridge the gap between Africans in the U.S. and the people in Africa through debates on issues that affect both parties. Well, let's go to another comment from Facebook fan Paul Biayesu, who writes, I suggest that VOA come up with community studios, which can reach the common man and hear more of their stories. More engaging debates should focus on capturing people's ideas as they voice out their concerns on politics, the economy, culture, and the environment. Very interesting. Well, our last Facebook comment comes from Ashbel Malinga, who writes, VOA should help train African journalists so our journalists have a chance to work with the best. VOA should also connect African young people who are making a difference in society to people who matter and give us a voice to reach the world, as we have totally lost faith in our African leaders. Now, a reminder that we appreciate all of the audience feedback, so please keep them coming. And if you're a new fan, drop us a line at africatv@voanews.com. Once again, our email address is africatv@voanews.com, or you can post your comment on our Facebook page. Enter the keywords Straight Talk Africa. Interact with our show as it's streaming live. Be sure to visit us online at voaafrica.com, or you can join our YouTube channel. Sign up to VOA TV 2 Africa and follow us on Twitter at VOA Shaka. A reminder that the show is streaming live every Wednesday. Go to VOA Straight Talk Africa TV program page on our website, or you can simply watch us live on your mobile device. Just download the VOA mobile app. Now let's take a look at what's on tap for next week's program.
On
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we will examine the contributions politicians of African descent are making and changing toward the political realities in the United States. We'll also discuss the new faces arriving on the political landscape on the next Straight Talk Africa. Well, that's all for today's social media segment. Shaka, you guys have a lot of social media comments to discuss. Back to you.
Well, thanks again for sharing some social media reaction from Africa with us. Welcome back. And today it's a conversation about the Voice of America's African initiatives. And our distinguished guests are Amanda Bennett, the director of VOA, and Ngozi Mengesha, the Africa Division Director. Again, I have to say, Amanda and Ngozi, that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host the two of you on Straight Talk Africa.
And we are honored, humbled that you're giving us the opportunity to speak to Africa through such an important and powerful forum.
Profoundly honored for your compliments, madam.
Actually, this is the best opportunity to promote our own work also so that people understand it better, I'm sure. You're getting a lot of topics for your discussion on economic, social issues, good governance, I think. Mm-hmm. The question of training they mentioned, actually, by the way, we'll have actually in 15 days, as of July 15, a training of stringers in Nairobi.
And of course, as you say, we already have a group of journalists, especially from Uganda and Rwanda, who and came on an investigation type of programming, correct?
Yeah, true. I think the training is one of the most important aspects we are really pushing. We have trained Hausa stringers in Nigeria a year and a half ago, French stringers in Abidjan we have trained. We have trained actually in Kinshasa also some stringers, Central Africa. For Portuguese, for the first time in Mozambique, we took out stringers from Angola, brought from Guinea-Bissau, trained them in Maputo. Now, actually, in Nairobi, we'll have Swahili stringers, Horn stringers, Amharic. For the first time, they are coming out of Addis. And also Central Africa stringers, two, one from Burundi, another from Rwanda. Two English stringers, Euro stringers, from Juba, they will be attending, total of 25. They will be taught, actually, not only to produce radio content, TV content, and digital media content also. It's not only radio nowadays. If you are really dwelling on radio, we're losing the game.
Actually. Really?
Yes.
But talking about, for example, again, disseminating the information and what have you, especially through this new technology. We talk about telephones, for example, on the African continent. But I'm reminded that most of those telephones, frankly, do not have the capacity to receive our programming.
You'll be surprised, actually. To be honest, they have the capacity in many areas, actually, to be honest. If you take Kenya, now Kenya is becoming the Silicon Valley of East Africa. You can find iPhones.
Oh yeah, Kenya is very advanced.
Nigeria, we have a Hausa or Dandelion actually, 24/7 content on mobile phone. Actually, we are having breaking news, short features, Hausa music, American music. We have audience, actually. We should really develop that one. Facebook is becoming very popular. Some of this segment, if possible, the whole segment, should be also streamed on Facebook. That's extremely important. Actually, we took that mandate, you know, guidelines from Amanda and her office. Actually, we have now expanded also, Sandy also gave us that instruction, Kelu too. We have expanded actually our digital media team. Actually, there are services who have what they call digital leads who work only 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week only on social media.
Very interesting.
Yeah. So I think that is, and we have also a team, our internet manager has a group of experts actually who work with him, who can serve the services actually.
You had, of course, some concerns regarding, you know, how we obviously interact and originate programming. Our competitions, for example, like the Chinese Global Television Network, the Africa Live is actually based in the Kenyan capital, Nairobi. I know for sure that BBC has a capacity to broadcast from Nairobi, probably from Abuja and what have you, South Africa and you name it. What are we doing in that direction?
I think that we have the funding since 2014, the investment, the enhancement funding. That has given us the possibility of expanding our presence on the continent. Actually, we want to expand the Nairobi office know, it used to be for news division center. It's going to be our center, actually. We will have the Swahili stringers, Amharic stringers. There will be Somali stringers also. Hopefully, it will have also the capacity to air from there. We should try that. There's no doubt about that. By the way, one thing what Amanda was pushing was to raise the quality of our content. Mm-hmm. Focus on investigative reporting, special programming. I think we have done that. This is, I mean, you can talk what you showed yesterday to your managers.
Well, and one of my points is we are trying to train not only here, but also in Africa. Investigative reporting is not magic reporting. Investigative reporting is just using the very best journalistic techniques of doing thorough reporting, of being really fair, of digging deep, of finding important issues, of making sure your facts are correct. That's why we're really focusing on doing those kinds of things, because to do important topics that matter to people, you need to be a very professional journalist. So we're trying to make sure that both our journalists and the ones we work with in Africa have those tools at their disposal.
I've also, of course, had you talk about perhaps focusing a lot on what you characterized as human interest stories.
Well, I think a lot of people mistake human interest stories of being something off to the side, something kind of entertaining and fluffy, but I mean, what is the news for if not people? I mean, it's people's stories, it's people's lives. I mean, politics doesn't exist out here in the air for no reason. Politics is there because it influences things that happen in people's daily lives. So I think the purpose of news is to look at what is going on in people's lives. It's not just a kind of a fluffy feature out here on the side that you do when you don't have anything better to do. That's what's really important, is the way people live and the way people, you know, exist in the world. So that's what I think we should be doing.
What do you think that you, Amanda, you need to accomplish in order to consider your mandate a success here at the Voice of America?
I think going back to what you talked about, I think putting the journalism, objective, truthful journalism, at the very center of what everyone is thinking about all the time. You know that the journalists here are thinking about that. We want to make sure the whole organization is really just fiercely committed to being the best journalists they can and engaging with our audiences in the way that you two are both talking about and the way that the viewers are talking about, because they're saying they want us to engage with people on important issues. That's what I think we need to make sure, is we've all got the tools to do that.
It's very interesting because, you know, politically, it sort of reminds me of some conversations I have had with some people talking about, for example, democracy. Some of these people will say that if you look at the countries that are called the Scandinavian countries, that they actually are people-centered. Mm-hmm. They do. They come up with policies that reflect the interests of the people, not infrastructure, not structures. Is that what I hear you talking about?
Well, and I'm not a politician. I'm a journalist. So I'm saying that our journalism should focus on the end result and the people and the people and the way people are living, not each individual little turn of the screw politically or what's the latest thing everybody's all upset about right now, but actually what's going on in the world and how does it affect people? Have you seen that?
Actually, you know, I think we have done a good job, but we need to do more in terms of reaching the youth in Africa. It's a majority. Actually, right. I call them neglected majority. Mm-hmm. They are the victims of everything. Mm-hmm. They are the ones who fell through the cracks of education. They are the ones who are unemployed. They are the ones who are being recruited by Boko Haram and Al-Shabaab. They are the ones who cross Sahara, go to Mediterranean, die in the seas for looking for hope and imaginations, you know. We should focus on them, to be honest. We have really designed a program, youth program in Swahili, in Amharic, in Somali, in Hausa. I like to have a youth program in also really daily program also in English. We should really focus on them. Give them a hope, give them a different narrative. To be honest, we don't have to talk always politics, to be honest. Breaking news. It could be about how to start a business.
And why
about
not?
Technology.
And why
about
not?
Technology. We can. And we are doing that, actually. We're succeeding. By the way, since 2015, between 2015 and 2016, our audience has grown on all platforms. Roughly at 17 million. I think it's a big achievement. What about the research.
Sometimes even focusing, frankly, on the accomplishments, for example, of the diaspora?
Mm-hmm. We did. Actually, that you should talk about it, your initiative. She gave, actually, a story contest. Our digital team gave her a story to go and cover the first generation, African first generation, who are in Silicon Valley. We told there are a couple of them. We found about 14 or 15 of them. We have a special now produced on them, actually, in English. It will be version. I mean, you can talk about
it. It's very interesting. And it's the kind of stories, honestly, that the American media doesn't have time or knowledge to do. Mm-hmm. So we had a team coming out of Ngozi's area who went to Silicon Valley. As he says, finding a lot of African entrepreneurs to talk about the kinds of business they want to start, what motivates them, how they want to serve their home, what personal drive, you know, is motivating them. It was very interesting.
It's interesting. Actually, yeah. These are going to be millionaires.
Yeah.
They are on the right track. They have mm-hmm. challenges, but really some of them are going to be millionaires. And we'd like to have also, at the end of the day, after we showed this special documentary, a town hall meeting with this, the African first generation, African Americans, or with their counterparts in Nigeria, in Kenya.
I hate to interject because, unfortunately, time happens not to be our best ally. A reminder that you are tuned into Straight Talk Africa. To participate in our discussion, please call us at 202-619-3111. US country code is 1. We'll continue our discussion in a moment, so please, don't go away.
Like Voice of America on Facebook. Follow VOA on Twitter. Join VOA on our YouTube channel. Like, follow, join VOA.
If you like today's show, please write and tell us what you think or give us some suggestions. Be sure to tell us what station you're tuned into. Our address, Straight Talk Africa, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue Southwest, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. Or send us an email at africatv@voanews.com. Log on to our website at voaafrica.com. Or post your comments on Facebook, keywords Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githu-Ewart. And of course, this is Straight Talk Africa, coming to you live from Washington. You wanted to talk something about sharing stories in terms of the institution and what have you, in order for us to become perhaps a little bit more effective.
So one of the amazing things about Voice of America is that there are 47 different newsrooms inside this building in 47 different languages. Many of them are African languages, but many of them are from all other parts of the world. And each one of those languages is broadcasting to their own country in television, radio, social media. But we think that people maybe in China would be interested in stories out of Africa, or people in Africa interested in stories out of Cambodia, or, you know, so we're trying to set up a system, because they're all in all the different languages. We can't mm-hmm. broadcast in Cambodia to Africa and expect people to understand. So we're putting up a system in place so that people can translate quickly between those two languages, so that when a North Korean defector gives a really important interview, mm-hmm. if people in Africa are interested in hearing about that, they can hear about it quickly from Voice of America. Mm-hmm. And you want to talk about how that works in the Africa
sure,
division?
Sure, sure. I mean, we have what you call bridge editors, who focus on major issues. Mm-hmm. Okay. For instance, there is a drought that was affecting close to 20 million people in the continent of Africa. So we sent the reporters to Somalia. Actually, it's a very difficult area to cover a story. But really a very bold reporter volunteered to go. He brought a story from there. We sent a French reporter to Chad and Niger. So we combined that and produced actually a documentary on that one. The Silicon Valley is a good story mm-hmm. actually also. So the bridge editors actually focus daily on major stories, pick one or two. And that can be shared within our services and can be shared also with the rest of the division.
Very interesting. I gather that we have some callers, so we go to the lifeline of the show, which are the telephone callers, really. And Good evening, Samuel from Uganda. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Good evening, Ndugu Shaka. How are you after a long, long time?
I am hugely terrific, you bet.
Yeah, and I would like to thank you because I'm viewing you from NBS in Uganda for the second time. The first time was during the demise of Ndugu Byanyima. Then the second time it is now. Thank you very much, and thank you for bringing in the directors of VOA.
You're most welcome, Ndugu Sam.
Yes. Now, my question goes to Madame Amanda.
The telephone probably is off. Yeah. Okay, still in Uganda. Good evening, Mr. Mugume. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Hello?
Is that Sam?
Yeah, that is Sam. Oh. My question is this. Madam Amanda, we have problems in broadcasting our views with the VOA in Africa, especially in Uganda. Can you kindly ensure that every Wednesday we have an interaction between the voice of America
and the country you are calling? Please try your call later.
I think he's talking about having the ability to broadcast Straight Talk Africa live through a specific affiliate television station on the ground.
So Samuel was talking about seeing Straight Talk Africa through MBS
We
visited there, and they're a very good affiliate, and we're trying to make sure that all the affiliates have the ability to broadcast the shows that the viewers like this want.
There is also NBS actually taking Straight Talk in the future. I think, what are they taking you now?
Well, they are taking it for this particular edition, and they did a couple of weeks earlier. Mm-hmm. But there have been a lot of requests from people via social media and what have you that they really want to be able to watch Straight Talk Africa.
The whole content. I think we should talk with affiliates, not only NBS, other affiliates also, when it's possible to take the whole 1 hour block. And also, to be honest, I have been discussing informally with you and Sonia too. We should also really try to find maybe second edition of the Straight Talk. Yeah. It could be not necessarily 1 full hour, it could be half hour. We should produce that one. We should really try to satisfy also the needs of the audience also.
But we have to
open this discussion. We're trying to open with affiliates. We'll open that door, I think, that possibility.
Thank you very much. And still in Uganda, Mr. Mugume? I see.
Hello?
Yes, please.
Hello, Ndugu Shaka?
Yes, please.
My second contribution is this. If you go to your archives, you know that my voice is there in your cassettes, in your records. Kindly talk to the directors to arrange.
Yeah. I'm afraid it looks like your telephone line is environmentally and technologically unfriendly. Well,
one might be to have a telephone center within major cities where they can call local calls you receive the call here.
Right. You know, part of the reason that some of the audience are complaining about not having unfettered access to a live broadcast of Straight Talk Africa is because until recently, we used to be accessed through a WBS television station, which was closed at some point, then, of course, it was sold to someone else.
I think KSA, which is going to be affiliated, already affiliated with ESPN, bought that place, actually.
Mm. I see.
Yeah. It's no more, it doesn't belong to affiliates, actually.
That's right.
So there's global forces that none of us can influence, unfortunately.
That's very interesting. Mm.
Another thing, to be honest, maybe just to talk about this, use this opportunity. We'll have our reporting centers now. We used to have only Dakar, Nairobi, Joburg, Cairo. These are the four corners.
What about
but
Abuja?
we have Abuja, of course. We have Bamako, we have Niamey, we have added Mombasa now. Mm-hmm. To be honest, in the future, we have a plan to send reporters, people like you, from each service, go and work in these reporting centers. Mm-hmm.
produce content on the ground there.
With the journalists.
It has a lot of advantage. First, we will be there to capture really
the BBC
major
does
news.
That, actually. They I've been doing that for a very, very long time.
They do that, yeah. But we have to stop that, actually. But also, it gives an opportunity to enhance the skill of our stringers also in terms of production and also content value.
Now, talk to us a little bit more about these reporting centers. How different, for example, are reporting centers from what traditionally is called a bureau?
Yeah, this one, the Mombasa one, you have seen it. It's a state-of-the-art studio. It has a television studio, it's a digital content production center, radio studio also. It's a very small office, actually, to
be
honest.
But it has all example, live, like a Governor Joho in Mombasa?
I'm not sure we can do it live from there. I think you can connect to you to the studio here. And the live should go from here. I don't think we have anywhere the capacity to go live, actually.
Not
but
even
this
Abuja?
Is something we have to, not even Abuja, too. But we have to think that in the future. We have to have some, you know, I don't have the technical knowledge to give you that. But
like
I think
Johannesburg.
We should. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Johannesburg, too, we never tried it. I don't think we have that capacity, actually. We should think, particularly in some major cities where we have bigger studios, I think to connect, live connection should be an option, actually.
Amanda, I think you deserve the last word before we go to the orbit.
I would like to thank both of you because it is so amazing to me to be able to work with such skilled and dedicated journalists. And I'd like to thank the audience, too, because I've just come back from meeting the people who are our audience, and I really appreciate the fact that you're our audience, and I just wanted to thank you for being there because it's a great honor to be able to work with all of you here and out there.
The feeling is mutual.
Thank you.
You're most welcome, ma'am. Lastly, we would be remiss if we did not pay tribute to Sir Ketumire Masire, one of Africa's greatest sons of the soil, a leading figure in the independence movement. Ket, as he was affectionately known by colleagues and admirers, remains a key pillar and treasure of African democracy. President Masire, the second president of Botswana, came from humble beginnings, retaining his humility both as a teacher and a statesman. He died at a local hospital in Habarone on June 22nd. He was 91. On a personal note, I was honored and privileged to meet and interact with Sir Ketumire Masire several years ago in New York City. We express our profound condolences to his family, friends, and the people of Botswana. May his soul rest in eternal peace. On that note, thanks to our distinguished guests, Amanda Bennett and Negusi Mengesha. Thanks to our affiliate stations, along with our viewers and listeners, we thank you for tuning in. For many of our Voice of America radio affiliates, Learning English is coming up next. And tomorrow morning, it's Daybreak Africa with James Bate. On behalf of the Voice of America, thanks for tuning into Straight Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better, not beta, VOA Africa television and radio. And please remember to keep the African hopes alive. Yes, madam.
Thank you so much.
You're most welcome. What?